This evening's passage that we have read just so coincides with what we heard this morning from Peter Orton, that he also spoke about the eminent Apostle Paul as well. One of the fascinations that people have in this world is to look at celebrities or big people, and they like to look at their lives. Oh, this is what they have for breakfast. This is how they spend their time. This is what they drive. This is what they do in the whenever they congregate. People like to look at these things, and they like to then add a bit more from their self and make these people out to be so big. And they think, wow, I wish I was like that. I'm sure at some stage we would have had our idols in our life where we think, wow, I wish I was like that. I remember a fair few years ago where we went to Paris to take part in a 3-day holy convocation with Brother Buck Singh. And I thought to myself, wow, such a man of God. And I was taken back by his simplicity and his matureness in the gospel. And I thought, wow, what a person to emanate. But you know, when we look at people's lives, we only see what they want to show us. We don't see the whole picture. This record that we read of the Apostle Paul, this is not just written to tell us about what happened with him. This is for us to learn. A lot of the gospel, a lot of the Old New Testament was written by Paul. I mean, just imagine, such a mighty apostle. Such a mighty apostle that he ticked all the right boxes. Jews of Jews, he was educated under Gamaliel. He was such a figurehead in the church. And quite rightly, people would have put him on a pedestal to say, wow, the apostle, what a man. When we look at ourselves and we try to emulate some spiritual giants of God, we think, if only we had wings of angels. If only we could have, if only we knew what this person now knows. Wow, that's so amazing. And what comes to mind now is when God's people, when they go to glory, they take a lot of spiritual knowledge with them. Referring to Brother Ramesh, whose funeral we're going to go to on Wednesday, that brother was a mighty man of God. And he, with our brother going to glory, he has taken so much of wisdom, God's wisdom and God's knowledge with him, that he's left a hole in a lot of people's lives, including my own. But God does not want us to fix our eyes on people, but he wants us to fix our eyes upon him, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. If we look back, bearing in mind Paul was a man just like us, exactly the same. But if we look at chapter 12, the first few verses, we won't read them. But Paul was subject to such a revelation that It was mind-blowing. Paul was taken to third heaven. A man, sinner saved by grace, just like you and me, was taken to the third heaven. The third heaven being where angels are, where the Lord Jesus Christ is. And with his ears he heard words, and with his eyes he saw things which no man on earth had ever seen. Just imagine that. When that man, he was in the Lord, he was in the Spirit, just imagine when that person came down to earth, so to speak, he would have been worshipped. Wow, Paul. He has seen with his eyes third heaven. He has heard the voice of angels, which no man can understand what they were saying, what was happening. He couldn't even describe it, but yet he saw and he heard. And then he came to earth, back in the Spirit. Bearing in mind that he himself says that with all his qualifications and everything, he says, I am but a sinner saved by grace. I'm the least of the apostles. All his education, all his standing, everything he says, I count but rubbish, I count but filthy clothes compared to the glory of God. This man would have been worshipped, but he kept quiet. For 14 years, he said, for 14 years, I kept quiet. Because he did not want people to make him to be what he was not. That is something super spiritual. He was not, he was a man. With this in mind, there is a saying in Urdu, which I will say, and I did ask Fiza, but I say I will translate it into English as well, in case she finds it difficult. But there is a saying in Urdu, which I will quote to you. And that saying is so. It says, خود ہی کو کر بلند اتنا کہ اہل تقدیر سے پہلے خدا بندے سے خود پوچھے کہ بتا تیری رضا کیا ہے. O man, do not elevate yourself to such a high position, lofty position, that God says to you, man, what are you? What is your worth? What are you? You are nothing. For this purpose alone, God gave Paul, the apostle, a thorn in the flesh. Yes, we talk about the thorn in the flesh. We talk about this chapter. And many eminent people have spoken on this. And yet what I would like to say pales into insignificance. I would not be able to do justice to these verses because, as our brother shared this morning, that the pastor couldn't come to church because of the snowstorm, and the humble person who was there, he didn't even know how to speak. And yet through him, Charles Spurgeon came to the Lord. So please bear with me with my foolishness, with my silliness, as I try to expand on these words. How many of us, if we were in Paul's place, would have kept our feet on the ground with the revelation that we had? God said, the danger was, that Paul said that, lest I should be exalted above measure. If you look at verse 7, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Because Paul had seen what no man had seen, only angels had seen, because of the surpassing greatness, the revelation was so great that because of the revelation, God said, for keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Thorns are very small compared to the thorns that were on the crown of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified. Those were big thorns. But the thorn in the flesh that Paul refers to keep him from getting exalted, he says that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It was given to him by God to stop him from getting proud. Just like sometimes the person who stands here, they have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me if I feel proud after sharing the word. Because it is God's grace and God's grace alone that anybody can stand here and share the word of God. It is not everybody. No, everybody can do, no, cannot do that. But how many of us would be able to contain that revelation? Would we not be telling everybody? Sometimes you hear people say, oh, they died for a few moments and they saw God and they came back and they tell everybody and they make films about it, write books about it. But Paul, he kept quiet. He did not want people to take the glory away from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was said, I'm the humblest of the humblest apostles. For this purpose, the thorn was given in the flesh. See, roses have thorns as well. The thorns are there around the rose to protect the beauty of the rose. In the same way, when the Lord wants to protect the beauty of the soul, he gives thorns to people. Now, we might have different thorns in our life. But if a life as a Christian does not have any thorns, then that means the Lord is not teaching us something, or anything for that matter. A person who is so eminent as Paul, he said that this thorn was given to me, a messenger from Satan. It was not Satan himself, because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he did battle with Satan, Satan was a worthy opponent. He was there, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he cut him down. The apostles, when they did battle with Satan, they were prepared with the armor of God. But here, to give Paul that niggling sensation, Satan himself didn't come. He sent one of his little lucky messengers. Just go and irritate him. Maybe a previous sin maybe that Paul had, or maybe anything. We don't know. Paul says Paul doesn't write clearly. He may be suffering with something. But a thorn was given to keep on reminding him every now and then, to keep him humble. You all know when we have a little pebble, little stone in our shoe, and you're walking, it keeps on irritating. Until you don't stop and you don't take that out from your shoe, you can't walk properly. But Paul says that the messenger from Satan to buffet me, it doesn't say to kill him, but to buffet him. Keep on punching at him. Whenever he felt comfortable, keep on punching at him. In life, when we walk, in the Christian life, what happens sometimes is that we, when everything seems fine, when everything is okay, something happens. A trial, a tribulation, something happens. Something devastating, or maybe something that irritates us and tries to pull us back into that same thing that we came out of. But the thing is, The temptation that came to Paul was more subtle. It was not a direct attack. It was a niggling attack, small attack, every now and then. So that Paul would not exalt himself, because God knew that if Paul were to exalt himself, then there some people would say, I am the Lord Jesus Christ's. I am Paul's. They would say in their weakness and in their misunderstanding, they would look at Paul as somebody being somebody so eminent that they would say, maybe he's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said no. Paul said that to keep me from exalting myself. Believe me, when the Lord Jesus Christ wants to humble you in anything whatsoever, he will humble you, trust me. The Lord will bring you down on your knees, because that is the only place for a believer to be. Paul, as much as he had scripture knowledge, as much as Paul had, he was stayed with the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew the dangers of self-exaltation. If the Lord gives us flowers of gratitude for him, he also gives us the thorns to remind us of what we are. The apostle says that in verse 8, he says, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. One thing is there, the apostle knew that the only thing he could do in this situation is to pray for. Did he say, Lord, remove this thorn? He might have done. Did he say, Lord, I can't take this anymore? But whatever it was, he took it as a gift from God. Now you would say, how can a thorn in the flesh be a gift from God? See, the thing is, if you have a thorn or something in the hand or in the foot, okay, what's the one thing you would do automatically? You take a needle and you would take it out if you could. Or if you're squeamish, you ask somebody else, oh, can you do this for me, please? I've got a thorn, I've got something stuck here. It's irritating, you can take it out. And they'll take it out for you. But we remember the pain, where the pain was there constantly. In the same manner, if the Lord gives somebody the blessing of sharing the gospel to them in a manner that they draw so many people to the Lord, to salvation, then believe me, that person always has a thorn in the flesh as well that keeps him humble. Because, as they say, pride comes before a fall. And spiritually, we see many people. What happens is these people, they share the gospel, they evangelize. So many thousands of people come to the Lord. And yet what happens? With that thorn in the flesh, because they didn't pray about it, they fall. And when they fall, they are ridiculed by other people because they fell into sin. And many, many people who are there, who are old servants, who have fallen away from the way, we find that their fall is great. The apostle says, three times that he might depart from me. And I'm sure Paul must have prayed earnestly, Lord, you're using me for your glory. If you want me to do this, if you want me to, Lord, you have shown me the third heaven, for God's sake. You've shown me the third heaven, Lord. You've shown me things other people have not seen. And yet you can't even take this little thorn away from me? Why not? Don't you think God could have just taken the thorn away just like that? Of course he could. Of course he could. Could not God tell that little devil enemy, go away, be gone. Paul could do it. Paul healed people. He could do it. Of course he could. But sometimes God leaves things in our life so we are rooted and grounded in the Word and we are closer to Him. If I was to ask a question to our brother George, if you don't mind. Brother, these last few weeks or month or how long has it been for your operation?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. These 5 weeks, how close and how much have you relied on your two walking sticks? A lot. A lot. That just shows us that when we become dependent on things, how much we want them to be there, for brother to keep his balance. But the apostle knew that the apostle knew that if the Lord hasn't taken this away from me, there's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a reason. And the only reason that can be is for God to receive the glory, for Jesus Christ to receive the glory. Now the thing is, that this thorn in the flesh, as a metaphor, so to speak, this thorn in the flesh, it was a reminder to Paul to keep him humble, to keep his feet on the ground. But in verse 9, it says, "And he, God, said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" God said, "My grace is enough for you." If the thorn is there, the grace to overcome it is there as well. If I've given you this tribulation, I am enough for you. As we walk in life, always remember that we are the ones who always let God down. Always, always, always. God never lets us down. Even when we go through the toughest of trials in life, even when a dearly departed one, somebody who we love, goes to glory, or we come into a situation where we just think, "Lord, what am I going to do? I just don't know what to do." And we pray, "Lord, help me. I don't know what to do." If God takes that thorn away, glory to God. If He doesn't take the thorn away, glory to God. Because either way, He's teaching us something. I must say, myself and my wife, we went through some tough times these last 2 years. And towards the end of last year, our prayer was, "Lord, we don't know what to do." And the Lord said, "Just trust me. I know what I'm doing." God says that my word is like the hammer that shatters a rock. No rock is too big for God not to shatter. When the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you," that was the answer to prayer. He didn't say, "I'm going to take the thorn away." He didn't say, God doesn't say to you, "I'm going to take your problem away." God doesn't say to you, "I'm going to take your heartache away." God doesn't say, "I'm going to make it just the way you want it." If He does, praise the Lord. That's His glory. But if God says, "I'm going to leave everything as it is." Why? Because I want you to learn from this. Pain is the greatest teacher known to man. Unless you go through it, you don't know what it feels like. The apostle here, he doesn't say, "Go, Lord, why? Why don't you just take it away?" What does he say in the remainder of verse 9? Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Most gladly, not with complaining, not with, oh, poor me, hai mai bichara, poor me. Most gladly, he said, I will boast about my weaknesses. Now, who boasts about their weaknesses? Nobody does. If I have a weakness, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to boast about it. I want you to see the strong side of me, if there is one. Because everybody wants to show the strong side. I'm strong, I'm resilient, I'm tough. No. I'll tell you one thing. Inside, in the heart of hearts, we are all weak. That's why in 1 Corinthians, in the first book of Corinthians, we won't read, but we'll just refer to some of these verses. Where it says that when I am weak, I am made strong. The Lord, he shows his strength in our weakness. His wisdom is beyond all else. When we are weak, then we are strong. When we are despised, then we are made strong in the Lord's eyes. The apostle says that the Lord will magnify me. That's why he says, I am well content with the weaknesses, with insults and distresses and persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Lord was making Paul stronger, A, by keeping the revelation to himself for 14 years, and secondly, to teach us that the Apostle Paul, his eyes were fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go through life itself, ourself, our spiritual life, when we go through trials and tribulations, always remember that we are not alone. Because the effect of the thorn was Paul's compulsion to pray before the Lord. And by Paul praying, he's teaching us as well that we should not just give up, we should keep on moving forward. And the result of all his trials and tribulations was that Paul, when he came before people, he was more refined in his spiritual life. He was more stronger, knowing that he cannot count upon himself because the flesh is weak. In the same manner, as we move forward as well in our lives, in the church life, we also should be of the same thought, that people who come to church, who do not know the Lord, they have a thorn as well in their side, in their flesh, which they do not know about. Their sin which is niggling them, their sin which is cutting away at them inside, their sin which they don't have any peace from anywhere, those people are the ones who need to hear the gospel. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was such an excellent example for us that we should learn from him. And in closing, what I would like to say is that every action has a reaction. Meaning that when we dwell upon these words from this morning and this evening, the words that we've heard, and we dwell upon them, they should strengthen us to such a point as to wholly and solely depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we in our own selves are weak, fragile, and feeble. But it is the Lord who holds us in his hands. It is the Lord who teaches us from his word. And it is the Lord who will take us home to glory. The very thorn that was in Paul's side and the very thorns that were on the crown that was made for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is those thorns that compel us to come nearer to God and to closer to God. Because he does hear us. Believe me, God does hear us. He is the one who says, I've heard your prayers. But God answers in his own way and in his own time. Whatever the answer might be, like Paul, we should be content and we should be rejoicing that whatever the answer is, the Lord knows and the Lord is the one who guides us and it's the Lord who will take us home. May the Lord bless you. Amen.